until there are a number of greedy dogs to drink it. Go, be the cave dog of his lordship, in order that his election may deliver you from this trough.
Change yourself. Get rid of your ego. Become a human being, really. Then you will be saved from this kind of thinking and questioning something. Yes?
When he related the pitiless thefts which those tailors commit in secret, a Turk from Qutar amongst the crowd was exceedingly annoyed by that exposure. At night time, he was exposing those secrets for the benefit of the intelligent, as on a day of resurrection. Whenever you come to close quarters with a wrangle, you will see there two enemies in exposing secret. Know that that hour is the last judgment mentioned, and know that the throat which tells the secret is the trumpet.
Ah, okay. Now, the story goes in a very funny way, that like a gossip, the fellow will hear about the trick that these people will trick you and steal from this and blah, 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 blah. But before going to the story, there is a point in here. The point is, look around you. Everybody is fighting everybody. This fighting each other is not the essence of our existence. Our existence is to bring everything together to make it possible for all of us. But look around you. What do you see? You see this, you see that, you see the opposites. There are these opposition and fighting each other. We are talking about judgment. And everybody is fighting your judgment, because everybody has a different judgment, right? Yes?
For God hath provided the motives of anger, and hath caused those shameful things to be divulged. When he had related many instances of the perfidy of tailors, the Turk became annoyed and angry and aggrieved, and said,
"You see what happened here? Here he explained that this gossiping is what? Is a trick, because the truth will come out over there. The secrets will be opened. So even that negative stuff could have a positive outcome." Yes?
And said, "O storyteller, in your city, who is the greatest expert in this deceit and fraud?"
Ah, okay. This is the Turk. Means what? Arrogant. He will hear about this trick and they will say, "You see these people, while they are making you dress, they will trick you. They will make you laugh, and they steal a little bit of this." Who is the best one of them? Challenge. Why? Why should you look for the worst enemy? That arrogance, that me. Yes, now, let's hear the story.
How the Turk boasted and wagered that the tailor would not be able to steal anything from him. He replied, "There is a tailor named Bulishush who beats folk in light-fingeredness and thievery." "I warrant," said the Turk, that with 100 efforts he will not be able to take away a coil of thread in my presence.
Yeah.
I bet you that it doesn't work for me. Yes.
Then they told him, cleverer persons than you have been checkmated by him. Do not soar in your pretensions. Go to, be not so deluded by your intelligence, else you will be lost in his wiles.
Means what? This is it. What are you depending on? Says, look at you. Do you think that you have the best brain ever? In a way, yes. That's the only one you hanging on. Don't you notice the difference between you and the other brains? But, yes.
The Turk became hotter and made a wager there that he would not be able to rob either old or new. Those who excited his desire made him hotter. Immediately he wagered and declared the stakes, saying, I will pay this Arab horse of mine as a forfeit if he artfully steals my stuff. And if he cannot rob, I shall receive a horse from you for the first stake. Because of his anxiety, sleep did not overcome the Turk that night. He was fighting with the phantom of the thief. In the morning, he put
Hold on. What's happening to this fellow is what will happen to you. In this fighting, the actual fighting is tomorrow. But your tonight is ruined because the only thing you are thinking about tonight is fighting.
Yes.
So you cannot have a beautiful night tonight. This is the first thing you gain. Yes?
In the morning, he put a piece of satin under his arm, went to the bazaar and the shop of that cunning rogue. Then he saluted him warmly, and the master sprang up from his seat and opened his lips to bid him welcome. He inquired with a cordiality exceeding the Turk's rank, so that he planted in his heart affection for him.
Aha! Now this is the guy that is here to fight, right? But at the very first moment, the guy will welcome him and we somehow bow to him more than his position and blah blah, and he's happy. Now he's changing, yes.
When the Turk heard from him a song like the nightingale's, he threw down before him the piece of Stamboul satin, saying, cut this into a coat for the day of battle, wide below my navel, and tight above it. Tight above, to show off my body, wide below, so as not to hamper my legs. He replied, O kindly man, I will do 100 services. And in accepting it, he laid his hand upon his eye.
Means what? Yes, it means like this, yes. Okay, but here, we are listening to the meaning, right? Covering your eyes. He will put aside everything, even his vision, because he wants to play his trick. Period. Yes?
Then he measured and inspected the working surface, and after that opened his lips in idle chat of stories about other emirs and of the bounties and gifts of those persons. and about the misers and their economies. He gave a sample for the purpose of laughter. In a flash, he whipped out a pair of scissors and went on cutting, while his lips were full of tales and beguiling talk.
Simple. The game has started. Ow! This fellow who lost last night, here, he lost some of his motivation because he likes this fellow who will compliment him, right? And the fellow has everything prepared. Now, the heart of the story. Yes.
How the tailor told laughable jests, and how the narrow eyes of the Turk were closed by the violence of his laughter, and how the tailor found an opportunity. The Turk began to laugh at the stories, and at that moment his narrow eyes closed. He filched a shred and put it under his thigh, hidden from all living beings except God. God saw it, but he is disposed to cover up. Yet when you carry beyond bounds, he is a telltale.
Aha! This is the answer to the question about Sufi. Do you remember? He was questioning the creation of God and good and bad. He said, listen, this fellow is stealing, right? Nobody sees what he sees. Then what? You will forgive. There is this part of forgiveness. Because if not, if you punish the children first time they do a mistake, you destroyed a human being, right? So he will help, but to a limit. When you pass that limit, when you repeat that, when you become that bad fellow, then he will punish you. Yes.
From his delight in the tailor's anecdotes, the Turk's former boast went out of his head. What satin? What boast? What wager? The Turk is intoxicated with the jokes of the Pasha. The Turk implored him, crying, "For God's sake, go on telling jokes, for they are meat to me." The rascal...
Suddenly, his mood has changed. Why? Why? Up to here, what kind of person we were talking about? A superficial, arrogant me. And that fellow will turn around easily because he doesn't have principles. Do you remember? He came here just to fight. Now he hears good stories and the funny one, so he gives up. Yes.
The Turk implored him, crying, "For God's sake, go on telling jokes, for they are meat to me." The rascal told such a ridiculous story that the Turk fell on his back in an explosion of laughter. The tailor swiftly clapped a shred of satin to the hem of his underbreeches, while the Turk was paying no attention and greedily sucking in the jests. Still, the Turk of Kita said for the third time, "Tell me a joke, for God's sake."
For God's sake, you see, he begs even for more jokes. He forgot that he is here. He betted one horse, do you remember? To do what? To catch the thief. Now his mood has changed and he's laughing and he's begging in the name of God that tell me another joke. Yes.
The tailor told a story more laughable than on the two previous occasions.